Blog Talk Radio.
You're the one, golden and going strong. Take a bow, take it to the world somehow. But tell me it was getting you.
I would like to welcome everyone to John Talk Radio's Independent Music Showcase. Today is the 16th of February, 2022, and our guest tonight is Jim Traynor, and Jim has a new album out, Staring Down the Sun. We just heard the title track from that, and Jim, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Good evening. I hope you're having a great day.
Yeah, it's going pretty well. It was, we've had kind of a I live in central Ohio, and it's been kind of a cold, dreary, frozen winter. And today it was at 56 degrees, so it was that's pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah,
it's for you, a little preview of spring, maybe, huh?
A little bit, but makes you think about
yeah.
Oh my, yeah. It was just it's been kind of a long winter, but. So let's talk about right off the bat. I mean, listening to that song is such a great song. And we want to talk about your songwriting, how you do that. I mean, I've interviewed quite a few people, Jim, and songwriters. And every time I ask the question, you know, it's like, how do you do it? What's your process of songwriting? They all come up with different, you know, ways they do it. I mean, a lot of times it's similar, but let's start off with that. I mean, so you've been writing, how long have you been writing songs and what is your process?
Well, I've been writing songs since the 80s, but there's probably a 2.5 decades of hiatus in there. And also then I got back into it not too long ago and, you know, put out the EP, then put out the full-length record and working on the third album right now. Mm. My process is almost always melody first, lyrics later. That particular song on the title track was co-written with a buddy of mine from the UK. He's a bricklayer named Liam Butler. And boy, he can just be very poetic, where I can be a melody machine, kind of melody rich, lyric poor. So every once in a while I have to call on somebody. Anyway, he co-wrote a few songs off these last two releases. Super, super nice guy. And so I'll be hitting them up again here before too long.
So when you let's say, like you said, it's music for you, because, you know, I've talked to some people, Jim, that say, you know, the lyrics will come first and they'll throw the music around it. So it's to you. Is this something that you like sit down and work on? Is this something that comes to you? How does the song, the process of creating the melody and the song come to you? Or how do you work that out?
Oh, you know, usually I'm just dinking around on an acoustic guitar. And I just start humming stuff or something. Something comes to me, and then I go with it. I've got on my voice recorder on my phone, I've got over 2,000 audio clips of just pretty much going la, 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 you know, that kind of stuff. Even driving in the car, I'm always putting melodies in there. Not so much on the lyrics, but I do get around to them. And then when I'm focused, I can hammer them out. I don't think that I'm, you know, John Lennon or anything with the lyrics.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, gosh, you know, it has to fit together. I've always thought it's like, is it Bernie Taupin and Elton John? I mean, Elton John gets all the credit for everything, but without Bernie Taupin's lyrics, I mean, I and you can correct me. I'm not sure. Is Bernie in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? He should be, but I'm not sure if he is or not. But it's like, they, you know, when two people do it, it's one thing can't exist without the other. And it's kind of cool that you have that person that you can go to. Is that easy for you to find the lyrics that fit the melody? Because when you're writing a song, Jim, do you have it in your head kind of how you want it to go? I mean, like what you want to portray, because we want to talk about staring down the sun and exactly what it means, and what, you know, what inspired that.
Boy, you'd have to ask Liam on that one. For me, sometimes I have, maybe I'll have a catchy chorus and maybe some lyrics to there. So therein lies the theme of the song. And I'll either continue it myself and try to do verses and a bridge that, you know, goes along with that theme. Or I turn it over to somebody else. I work with other folks too. And just say, oh, here's the kind of the rough idea I have. I try not to be the mother hen with it, though, and really let these folks do what they do, because I've got some very talented people that are, oh, my gosh, they're so gracious with their time and to helping me out. They don't know me from Adam, really. I mean, on these two releases with all the musicians that have been on there, I've met one of them in person, a buddy of mine from college, and that's it. All the other ones I've never even met in person, so – you know, I'm really appreciative that they can spend their time in so many ways other than helping me on my tunes. And so I'm very, very grateful for that. And they pull through. Oh, my gosh, there's some really talented people around.
Would you like to, name a few of them that helped you on this last album?
Well, ones that you would know. Ones that you would know, Nick Bertling, you probably know. He drums on a lot of my things, but he mixes all of them. Such a talented guy. Mike Lucas, you might know him also. He mastered them, but he's a great guitar player. And for me, he mainly comes up with some keyboard parts here and there. So he's great. Lindsay Murray, Gretchen's Wheel, you probably know her. Lisa Michaels. Also, you know, she's done some harmonies with me too. Keith Klingensmith, he's the president of Future Man Records. Well, he's also in a band called The Legal Matters. And so I hit him up to do some background harmonies for maybe I. Stephanie Drexler also sings on that. She's I Am Dear Stella. And she's got her own career. She's from across the pond also, and very, very talented. Peter Rand. I don't know if you've had Peter Rand on your show before. A multi-talented guy from the UK. Oh, my gosh. He has added some very, very nice textures behind my, you know, guitar-driven songs.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So that's one of the things about this age. and we want to talk a little bit about the music industry also, but having the magical internet where you can, mm-hmm. you know, connect with people, because I mean, it's a part of everyone's life now, you know, I mean, you don't even think about it, but if, you know, I go way back. So I go back into the 60s and 70s and I go back to, you know, how, I wouldn't say it was difficult, but you had to put some effort into getting some music, and it was on the radio, and you had to wait for your song to come on. You had to wait, you know, it was randomly played, so you didn't know when it was going to be played. And then, you know, for me, I had to do whatever I could to scrape up money to get enough money to buy a single or an album. And then I lived in a small town, mm-hmm. so I had to take a bus, Jim, to the big town, it's Columbus, Ohio, to go to the record store to get the record, bring it back, read it all the way back, you know, the album, every word on everywhere, come home, mm-hmm. put that album on the family turntable in the living room, if I could get it, because that's where everyone watched television. That's where everybody, you know, was. So for me to get time to play it, and it was like this incredible, I don't know, the hurdles you had to go through and all of this. And I thought it was pretty cool. But now, I mean, somebody would have told me back then, Jim, that, hey, you'll be able to hear anything you want, you know, and on wonderful speakers, anytime you want to hear it, it just probably would have been like, oh, sure, you know. But now, like you're saying, you can contact people. They can send you files. You can put things together without actually getting together. And I know it happens a lot right now, but sometimes it just like it's pretty amazing how that can work. Now, I know you've been a musician for a while, so what do you think of that compared to the days where you had to go into the studio and the musicians had to all sit down together and work together? I mean, do you compare the two where you can basically put an album together in your home studio to the day where you had to get studio time and you had to work and had to have the engineers and all that? Was there pluses and minuses to those to you?
I think there is. If you're a band, I think you probably have a practice space and you hone the songs pretty well before going into the studio. I couldn't imagine going into the studio and paying the hourly fee or the daily fee to like what you saw in the Get Back movie. Oh my gosh, those guys sitting in the studio just working through their songs, the Beatles. Oh my mm-hmm. gosh, that was just crazy. So this is pretty handy because, you know, a few years ago, I turned into a sweatpants type of guy, so I'm just seemed to always have sweatpants on, you know, and so it's pretty handy to just come roll out of bed, come down the stairs, and, you know, I can actually be recording within 5 minutes of it if I want to. And,
Yeah.
So it's very, very convenient, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I get that, and I like that, and the reference to the Beatles, that whole thing blew my mind. It was like McCartney just like looking at him and saying, let's speed it up a little. Or it's like, oh my gosh, it's like and Ringo looking at him like they're all crazy. And I thought it was such a good way for people to see they're humans. They, you know, always throwing these.
I mean,
yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I was just thinking about how. Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
I remember watching that movie, and you know when they would flash on the screen, this is the take that actually made the album.
Okay.
You know, they'd be going through I've Got a Feeling for that, you know, 18th time or something.
Right,
and
right,
they'd get
right,
to a part
right.
in the song and you have Billy Preston there playing along, and then on the screen would say, this is the take that actually appeared on the album, that made the album. This is the one they wound up choosing. And to think that I'm actually watching them create this masterpiece that I've loved since I was 3 years old. Oh.
Yeah. it was incredible. And I think that that's one of the things that I, you know, on this show that I want when people listen to this, and I want them to understand from musicians like yourself about the creation of things. I mean, listening to an album, listening to a song, we're used to doing that as, you know, consumers. I'm used to, I listen to a lot of music. So, and I've discovered new music all the time. I'm one of those guys, Jim, I'm a junkie when it comes to listening to new music. I have friends of mine that are, that have never evolved out of the 60s and 70s. They still are there. They can't get out of it. They will listen to nothing but that. They constantly compare everything to that. And I also think that it was a magical time, but I spent a lot of time listening to new music, a new artist, and I think it's just awesome. And just to think that, you know, there's people, gosh, I don't know if we'll ever have another Beatles. I kind of doubt it, but it may happen. But just to think that there are people creating music, and, you know, it's just such a, it's something we're all used to right now, but man, it's a talent. And I just want to say, you know, you do a great job. This album is very good, and you've got a lot of great chord changes. And it's one of those albums, like I said earlier, Jim, I listen to a lot of music, and that's a head turner for me. It was one I have to listen to this. I really have to seriously listen to this album, because sometimes I'll listen and I'll think, well, I'll come back to that later. For the people that are listening, my guest is Jim Traynor, and the album is Staring Down the Sun. Now, I know you're on Bandcamp. Is there any other places, Jim, that people can go to purchase your music?
That's about it for purchasing. They can listen to it, you know, anywhere on, iTunes or YouTube or Spotify and all that. As far as purchasing, though, Bandcamp's the only place, unless they want to just send me a private message and I'll work something out with them.
Okay. And it's jimtraynor.bandcamp.com. And I highly recommend that, you know, if you're out there and you're going to hear some more of the music, you go out and listen to Jim's music. But I always encourage people to purchase the music, because I think that the artist, all independent artists deserve to, you know, to be paid for what they do. And it's interesting how, you know, the streaming has come along now. I'm not sure how you, where you stand on that. I mean, a lot of people are okay with streaming and everything just being available to everyone else. But to me, I think if you can, please, you know, support the independent musicians. I think it's very important to do that. So where's Jim Traynor stand on the streaming thing? Are you... You just want people
just
to hear
like
your music? Yeah.
Just like almost anything in life, there's the upside and the downside, right? It's nice that it's just so accessible at the same time. Yeah, we're not making a whole lot of dough from selling from selling physical copies these days. And so, you know, as far as you stated it perfectly, I would just go right back to what you just said 45 seconds ago and go with that.
Okay. I seriously talk to people all the time about that. It's like, you know, it's very convenient. Like we talked before, Jim, in this interview, how convenient it was for you to reach out to other people and to get talented people to help you in, you know, without seeing them, without being in the same room. And now that, you know, if someone will say, hey, one of my kids or somebody will say, hey, listen to this song, and in a couple of seconds I could be listening to it. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And plus the fact that, you know, you can listen to just about anything without purchasing it, but I just kind of encourage people to do that. I always think it's a good idea to do that. Well, I think we're going to play another song, and then we'll come back, and then I want to kind of start off with if, you know, how you got started in music and just kind of start from the beginning, you know, taking the path that Jim Traynor took to be in music and be an artist. And in this world today, how important that is. I've always supported, and I've tried to support the arts, whether it's in schools or music or whatever, to try to, I know that sometimes that's one of the things, Jim, that they cut, you know, in school curriculums and things like that. But I think it's so important for that right now. So we're going to come back and we're going to talk to Jim about how he got started in music. But let's I'm going to play a song from your album, from Staring Down the Sun. This is Never Stand, Never Fall. Would you like to set this up and before we play it?
This one I co-wrote with a German guy. He calls himself Mini-Me. and this is interesting because he wrote the music. I wrote the lyrics and the melodies to this.
Oh, wow.
I wrote all the melodies, but this is one where I wrote the lyrics and somebody else wrote the music. In fact, Rewind, which is, sounds like acid rock funk tune, that's the next to the last song on the album, I co-wrote with Mini-Me also. I don't even know what his full real name is. He's a real character, but oh my gosh, is he talented. And so, you know, there's a lot of instruments in this song that, oh, don't appear in the typical Jim Trainor song.
Okay,
like,
this is
like,
never...
like cello and fiddle, mandolin, cello, you know,
yeah,
ones like that.
I,
so
I
it turned out well.
That's awesome. This is Jim Trainor, never... You're welcome. This is Jim Trainor, Never Stand, Never Fall, from his latest release, Staring Down the Sun. You can go to jimtrainor.bandcamp.com to purchase this, and I highly recommend it. We're going to play the song. We'll be right back and continue our interview with Jim. And stick around. want to welcome everyone back to Independent Music Showcase on John Talk Radio. And my special guest is Jim Trainor, and we're talking about his latest album, Staring Down the Sun. And we just heard Never Stand, Never Fall. It's a beautiful song. Good, great job on that, Jim.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So let's start at the beginning. I didn't start at the beginning so let's start now. It's about halfway through. And just take us through. I think one of the things that's important to me and to the people that are listening and people that maybe don't know Jim Trainor, and tell a little bit about yourself. I mean, you know, growing up and, you know, what was important, like as far as in your family as music, how did you get started in music? What were some of your influences? If you could, like, walk us through that, that would be great.
Sure. Mom played a little piano, mainly reading sheet music and such. But my main deal ever since I think I mentioned 3 years old, you know, I still have my Beatles mono albums from back when I was 3 and 4. I couldn't even read yet. I couldn't even read what it said on the albums, the verbiage on there. But I memorized the songs. I played them all the time. Yeah, I still have it. Unfortunately, I took magic marker and drew little TPs like with a little smokestack coming out of the top. But yeah, I still have.
Oh yeah, I've got some albums, Jim, that I like to collect albums. And one of the things that I started doing was, I've got some really cool Beatle albums and things that you can get really cheap that people have drawn on and put their names and things like that. But I think they're great like mm-hmm. that, to me. But mm-hmm. yeah, you had the smokestack and go ahead.
Well, anyway, so there was, I think that instilled my sense of melody in me. You know, I was able to recognize good melodies at a very, very young age. And so that's why the melodies are so important to me now. And I don't even so much want to bother with a tune if I don't like the melody, unless it's maybe, I don't know, some infectious groove like a Red Hot Chili Peppers song that you just can't help but move your body because the groove is so cool. Other than that, you better hit me with a good melody or I'm going to lose interest. So then I graduated into the Stones because my dad was a huge Stones fan. And oh my gosh, I'd be with him and it'd be time for me to get up. So instead of coming in and waking me up, he would just put on Exile on Main Street and crank Sweet Virginia till the wall shook. That was my cue to get up out of bed. And so he had an 8-track of Hot Rocks, which is mainly a greatest hits of some of the earlier stuff. And oh my, each song on that is just pure gold. And so I got to be a Stones freak after that. And,
oh, yeah.
And then, you know, late 70s came around and still the high melody band, Cheap Trick, great example. Cheap Trick, and there are a lot of bands that came after that kind of sound like them, the Jellyfishes, the ones like that, you know, great
right.
melodic rock bands. Yeah, I'm a real sucker for those.
Yeah, and I think that's it's the same with me. I mean, it's like I can't really tell you what makes a good song, but I know it when I hear it. I you know, but I couldn't write it down and say, hey, here it is. Here's the formula. Jim, do this, you know, or, you know, that would be pretty cool, mm-hmm. but I don't think that's the case. But so you get listening to music, the Beatles and the Stones. So walk us through how you got interested in music and started playing and some of the bands and some of the how, you know, you worked your way into the playing in bands and things like that. I think it's really important to know how people got started for two reasons. One is the fact that I think a lot of people get interested in music or the arts or something like that, Jim, and have a dream of doing it. But some people don't. They either do it or they don't. And so there are a lot of very talented people just didn't do that. They didn't go that path. They didn't pick up the guitar. They didn't work hard at it. They didn't put energy into it. And some people went different paths. And I can understand that. But talk about yours.
Oh, well, at, let's see, age 13 or so, started taking guitar lessons. I had this acoustic guitar, and I can't believe I even stuck with it. The strings must have been a half inch away from the neck.
It's
just awful. I had no calluses yet, no strength in my hand yet. But anyway, I just love music so much. And by then, I am just spending every last penny I have on albums. And anyway, so took up guitar, really fell in love with it. You know, I mentioned kind of the late 70s. Well, then you have around 81 or so Van Halen hits. And, wow, I was just an Eddie freak, So, you know, I really didn't even start writing songs till much later. Didn't start singing till a lot later. So guitar was it. Guitar was it for quite a while. Majored in classical guitar in college.
Oh, wow.
So naturally went right on the road with the rock band. You know, like happens with so many others. yeah.
So talk about that. I mean, what was the rock band, and talk about the, you know, being on the road and you doing it professionally.
Oh, that was a blast. Well, you know, when you're in your early 20s and you have all that energy and you're just living the dream, you don't care that you're eating pork and beans, you know, for dinner, because you're out on the road and you're playing, you get to play at night and crank it up and play loud and everything. So I was in a band called Black Rose, and we were pretty popular in the Northwest. Had a great following at home, and then we built a following around the Northwest too. And then we would start going on tours like through Texas and, you know, Phoenix. We would do those, you know, do these series of clubs and such. So we tried to build a following that way. Recorded two albums, put them out. It was the big hair 80s, you know, so it was that kind of sound that when I listen to it now, I'm not real over the moon about, but we were, you know, that's what we did. Still tried to keep the melody, the sense of melody in there. And, you know, before we started doing originals, we had, oh my gosh, what, like 800 cover tunes, rock songs that we could play. Almost every Beatles song in the book we covered somewhere along the line. You know, probably 35 Stones tunes and, you know, everything from back in the day, the songs we like, probably 25 Cheap Trick songs we did over the years. And, oh boy. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. And I think that, so you're in your 20s and you're doing this. So when you look at that part of, you know, going on the road and making music and things like that, do you see the music industry there compared to what it is today? Because it's like day and night. I don't know the nuts and bolts of what you guys, if you had a, you know, if you signed a record label, how you did that. To me, that's always very interesting how bands did that, because when you're young like that, you probably don't think a lot about what's going to go down the road. You're just thinking, oh, great, we're going to sign for, you know, we're going to go on tour and things like that. So how did it work for your band?
Well, you know, we never did sign with a major label or anything. It seemed like everybody thought, oh, once we get signed, if we get signed to a label, that's it. We've made it. They didn't realize that they're pretty much selling their souls to the devil and, you know, not going to make a whole lot unless you become one of the upper, the Motley Crues or the Poisons or, you know, ones like that. But, the record companies, they had it all worked out in their benefit and everything. And so, so we didn't. It was more of, you know, selling them out of the back of the van, selling albums and selling tapes and such. And so did all right. You loaded up all the local record stores, and it was always a good feeling that, you know, when you gave them 10 or 20 copies and they call you up and they need more because they sold out. And, you know, that was fun. One of the coolest things for me, and it's interesting when you look back and think of things that are just kind of tickle you. I remember walking into a music store and there was a kid on the other side of the room playing an electric guitar and playing one of my songs, a song that I had written.
Wow.
And he didn't even know I was in the store. So somewhere along the line, he came across the music, probably bought the album, decided to learn the song, and he's playing it, doesn't even know I'm in the room. And I just couldn't help but smile.
Did you walk over and talk to him?
Nope.
Oh.
No, it seemed like the moment was perfect like that. I didn't want to do like an ego thing and say, hey, by the way, I wrote that. You know, I don't know.
But that's a cool thing.
The moment just seemed, I didn't want to tamper with the moment, I guess.
Well, was he doing pretty good with it?
He was doing all right. He was doing all right. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was back where. What's that?
Yeah. I was just going to say, you look at, that could have been you when you were, you know, younger playing, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's so cool. And now you like you walk into a music store and there's always all these kids in there that look like they're just so young. And they're, you talked about Van Halen, they're playing incredible licks. I'm thinking, and you know, that's amazing to me. What, I don't know if you've experienced that, but when you go into a record store, there's always, the ones I go to in Columbus, there's always a kid playing like incredible licks in there. And it's like,
oh, they get younger and younger and younger. Oh my gosh. There's some real prodigies. Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
How old are you? How old are you? 9.
Yeah. And I've been playing for years.
I didn't learn that one until I was 18. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's so cool though. I mean, the experience that you had, with your band with Black Rose and the things that the memories that you have. So what happened to them? I mean, what happened to the band?
Oh, we just finally went our separate ways. Well, I did like thousands of people before me. I decided to get out of that because it was just, I was getting tired of that and open a baseball card shop. And so,
So
I did, you know, it's like everybody does, right?
Yeah. That's pretty cool though. Yeah. It's
That's another thing. I found my baseball card collection from when I was little, and the craze was really catching on. And I realized I had some valuable ones. So kind of got bitten by the bug. And next thing I know, I'm just doing more sports cards than music at that time and just opened my own shop. So that's kind of what I did through the '90s.
No, and, that's cool.
Yeah,
that is cool. I've got, collected basketball cards. I have a couple of those, but I didn't really collect. I did collect baseball cards when I was a kid, but I don't know whatever happened to them. But it is a kind of an addicting thing, so it's pretty awesome.
Did you wind up getting a Michael Jordan? Did you get a Michael Jordan rookie card out of a 86-87 Fleer set?
I seriously do, and it's on my dresser. I look at it every morning. I've got.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, and my every once in a while, my wife and I raised 5 kids, and one, the boys will call and ask me how the Michael Jordan's doing. You still got it, Dad,
oh,
right?
That's
you still
so
got
cool.
It. You still got it in the case. You're not messing with it, right? And I said, yeah, it's,
oh,
it's right there.
I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you. Oh, by the way, you mentioned your wife, right?
Right.
Your wife is Marcy. My wife is Marcy, and they both spell their name the same way. No extra E or any extra letters at the end. It's just the
right. Oh, that's
so
cool.
Yeah.
Marcy with an I. Yeah, she's Marcy Lynn.
Yep.
So I always call her Marcy Lynn, but she's it's pretty cool to have someone who supports you, because through, you know, all the things that I've gone through, I had a career with a big IT company, but my wife always knew that music was in my heart. You know, it was like,
mm-hmm.
Well, that's what, and I would drag her to all these concerts and I love going you talk about, you know, baseball card stores and things like, I've been to a bunch of those comic book stores, but I can spend an entire day without any problem at all in a record store. I mean, just drop me off, pick me up for dinner. We'll be good. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Over 1,000 now. 1,000 albums and probably 400 CDs. Yeah, it's crazy. Gosh.
Yeah, I had a record store for a little while and it didn't work out,
mm-hmm.
because I'll tell you why it didn't work out, Jim, because I didn't want to sell anything. It was like I would collect all these great albums and I would think, I don't want to get rid of these things. And I so my wife worked for this, she doesn't anymore, but an online auction company. And so that's how I got involved in estate sales. And, oh my gosh, man, just that's outside of garage sales, estate sales. It's like, you know, I was getting collections, these, you know, people would collect albums and terrible things might happen to their family or whatever. And I hated that part of it, but I would buy their collections. And it was like, I finally said, I can't sell them. I'm done. I'm living in this big, I'm living in this room full of records right now. And I love it, but I don't want to sell them. I'm not selling anything to anybody. Isn't that funny? You go to a store and you don't want to sell anything. That doesn't make any sense. But it's fun. It makes me happy to just to get rare albums and things like that and just look at them, and it's just a cool thing. My guest is Jim Traynor, and we've got a little bit of time left in the interview. If you want to purchase a Jim's album, Staring Down the Sun, go to jimtraynor.bandcamp.com. And we played a couple of songs. I want to play, I think we might be able to get a couple more. So I want to play Truth. And if you would talk about that, please. And then we'll play the song, and then we'll come back and talk some more about gear and all kinds of good stuff.
Well, that one is really interesting because, you know, some songs can take 2.5 years to act from start to finish just because you get stuck, just whatever, you know. That one came together so quickly, and it was funny because I picked up a guitar, and I don't even know why I did it. I grabbed the B string, and I tuned it up a half step. I don't know why I even did it. Placed my fingers on the neck, and boom, out came the first riff. And I thought, wow,
cool.
That's pretty catchy. Started developing it, right? And I figured, okay, I'm liking this. This is catchy, plus it's a rocker. Might be a good one to start an album off with. Looked up Nick Bertling for drums. I said, Nick, I was working with a few drummers then. I really like Nick. He gets such a great sound. Plus, he mixes my albums too, you know. So he knows how to get a great sound with this kit. But I go, Nick, I'd like you to play on this, but if you do, you got to make the face. He says, what do you mean the face? And he goes, if you go to his YouTube channel, he's got himself playing on lots and lots of tunes. And he sometimes just makes that face that drummers make where they're just digging in. And there's like, I'll go, if you promise me you can make the face, I'll let you play on this one. And he did. And it turned out great. And it was one of the easiest songs. It's just me and him, and then my buddy Mike Lucas, he played a little bit of keyboards in there, and it's just the three of us.
Well, let's play it. This is Truth from Jim Traynor's latest album, Staring Down the Sun, and you're listening to Independent Music Showcase on John Talk Radio. I'm your host, John Darlington. We do this on Wednesday evenings at 8 o'clock. We also have 15-minute music breaks on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 12 o'clock noon. Tune into that. And we'll be right back after this. This is Truth by Jim Traynor. back with Jim Trainor. This is John Talk Radio, Independent Music Showcase. I'm your host, John Darlington. We have Mr. Trainor on for about 13 more minutes. And we're talking about his album, Staring Down the Sun. Highly recommend it. Go on jimtrainor.bandcamp.com and purchase it. Okay, so let's talk about one of my favorite things is gear talk. And let's talk about what do you use right now? What's your main guitar through? Do you have a million guitars in your house? Do you have just a couple? Talk about this.
Well, I'm staring at about 25 to 30 of them. We don't have art on our walls. We have guitars, and then there's a stand
like
with
kind of
more guitars. And I'll go in a spare room, and oh look, there's three more guitars there. Yeah, gosh.
That's awesome.
And I just have a cool recording computer set up. It's got Pro Tools on it, you know, and I run through. I tend to run through these days. It's called a Kemper Profiler. So I don't know if you're familiar with them, but what they do is they profile every amp under the sun, even ones back from the late 50s and all. Mm. And so it is so cool because it's like you're running through one of those amps, but right through your computer. So you could do all those old Tweed amps, all those early 60s amps, all that to the mid 60s, late 60s, all the way up to the thrash metal ones that are out now. They profile the sounds, and for, I don't know how they do it, but you run in, you go to that setting, and boom, you've got the sound. And
wow.
Really, really fun.
So as a guitarist, what is the sound you like? I mean, what if somebody could say you could buy any guitar in the world and you could buy any amp in the world, and maybe you already have this, but what would that perfect sound be for you?
Well, it depends on the song. It really does. You can't go wrong running through a 50 or 100 watt Marshall stack, right? And so my favorite guitar at the moment is maybe they're a relatively new company. I don't know. I'm sure it's HUHR. And oh my gosh, they make these just beautiful, beautiful guitars. And they play so well. They sound so nice. And they behave, you know, they stay in tune and stuff, which is always a plus.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that, and just running through my Kemper here. And plus, I have a lot of amp simulators that I'll use from time to time too, and effects. But where I used to have the whole pedal board in front of me, and it would look like I'm dancing on stage because I'm stepping on one pedal and then turning another one off, and all of this. Oh, it's just all right there.
Yeah. Oh, that's
yeah,
pretty cool. So when you played with Black Rose back in the 80s, what guitar or guitars did you use, and what did you run through Marshall?
I did a 50 watt half stack usually, because that was enough, because we're microphoned and it's coming through the PA, so I didn't need to have these big old stacks, you know, like you see when you go to a concert and such. And I got in on Paul Reed Smith guitars almost at its inception, so PRS, and they're still around. They still make great guitars. Back then, boy, there's something special about the ones that were some of those first ones, and I still have the one I used to play on stage through the 80s. I have it right here on the wall.
Wow.
So I really, that was my favorite, and it took some abuse, that's for sure, but it still does great.
So...
Can I mention something, John? I felt
sure.
bad when you were playing Truth, because I totally forgot Tom Curtis. Now, I don't know if you've ever had him on your show before.
He's got a brand new album.
Oh, okay. Well, he's got a brand new album, and it's fantastic. And he actually co-wrote Heaven Descending with me. He did the lead guitar and some background vocals on Truth, and I totally forgot. And he's one of my best musical buddies. And hopefully he's not listening, but anyway, I just felt bad because I didn't give him any credit at all on that song, and he definitely deserved it.
Yeah, that's such a good song. I mean, and I'm not just saying this because you're on my show, but there isn't a bad song on the album, and they all have their own little life and their own world, and I really enjoy listening to them. and I can listen to them over. And I just and you did a great job on that, Jim, because like I was saying earlier, that doesn't happen a lot with me. I mean, I can listen to a lot of music and there'll be just one or two that'll pop up and say, hey, this is special stuff. So your album, you did a wonderful job on that.
No, I sure appreciate the kind words, John. Yeah.
Yeah, I know you put a lot of work into it. And I also think that a lot of people that listen, you know, just casual musical listeners don't understand how much work musicians put into their craft. And I think it's great to just say, you know, hey, that's good. you did good. So
I sure appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you.
Now,
thank you so
you're
much.
Welcome. Is there any new projects you would like to talk about, promote, or anything you're working on now?
I'm going to be on an album here this, I think it comes out this summer. There's a band from, gosh, where are they even from? A New Jersey band. I got asked by a gentleman that owns a small record company, and they're doing a tribute album for a band called The Pencils. Now, I've never heard of The Pencils before. And he asked me, he's one that I'll send him some CDs and he'll run out and I'll ship more over to him. So he's doing a great job with promoting my music there on the other side of the country. And so I didn't want to say no to him. And I'm listening to this band. All of a sudden I came across this one song that is just really infectious. Fast. It's fast. It's super cool. So I'm excited about it. I'm in the process of recording it right now. That should be out this summer and working on the third album.
Oh, that's cool. So when do you think the third album will be ready?
Oh, it's probably not going to be. It's going to be a little while. It seems to be moving rather slowly. And it'll get out eventually. But I'd give it a good year, I'm thinking.
Yeah, well, we will wait for that. That'll be great. So what's some of the music that Jim Traynor's listening to right now that's not your music but other people's music?
So my number one, my favorite album of last year actually is – have you had Richie Mayer on the show? His album, The End of Temporary Happiness, I just adore that. He was a feature. He was on Con Radio today. He was the featured artist on that. I love that. Well, I am by hook or by crook going to have him on the third album.
He's
already coming up. I sent him a bunch of my phone files, and he says that he's already come up with some stuff, and I haven't heard what he's come up with yet. So him for sure. I mentioned Tom Curless, him for sure. But I'll still go back to Enough's Enough, Cheap Trick, The Replacements, Paul Westerberg, you know, these ones that I really liked, especially through the 90s. I don't know. Real partial to the 90s music. I had Stone Temple Pilots on the other day.
Stuff.
Not so much their noisy stuff, but they can rock and they could actually write some great melodies, and musicianship-wise, they're just really off the hook. So, yeah. Who else? Matthew Sweet. You know, I forgot about him. He was a big influence also. So all those melodic rock guys from the 90s, I suppose.
I'm with you on all of that stuff. That's good stuff. Well, Jim, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. It's been great talking to you.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And we're going to go out tonight with Heaven Descending. Would you like to talk about that? That'll be our closing song for tonight.
Oh, that was a true collaboration between Tom Curless and I. And I had just some ideas around. The next thing I know, he's texting me over kind of the chorus, and we had it dialed in more, and then I wound up writing lyrics to it. So that turned out really well. He played drums on it. You know, he's a singer, guitar player mainly. No. Like all of a sudden he's sending me drum tracks to this, and he plays great. I think his latest album, I believe he played every sound you hear on it. Now don't hold me to that, but very, very talented guy, and I will be calling him up again very shortly. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So For everyone out there, Jim Traynor, the album is Staring Down the Sun, jimtraynor.bandcamp.com. And thank you so much, Jim, for being on the show. And I want to thank people for supporting independent musicians, for supporting this show for quite a few years. And thank you so much, Jim, for taking time out to be with us tonight.
Oh, you're most welcome, and thank you for supporting independent artists.
Yeah, it's just if people knew how great the music was, you know, it's just amazing. So thank you so much, and this is Heaven Descending with Jim Traynor, and everybody have a great evening and love each other, and we'll talk to you later.